Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ringside Chaos, the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the world today, with great passion, education, and knowledge, and most of all, a love and appreciation for pro wrestling. I am the Bear of Texas. It's good to welcome back Mr. Braverman, but it's also great to welcome back one half of the host of the Great Girth Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Trujillo. Gentlemen, what a WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Guys, I don't even know where to start. I really don't. Should we just get night one out of the way?
Absolutely.
Please.
One of my friends who's been on the show, he described night one as Sunday Night Heat.
And it was boring, man.
I think you gave it your own thing.
Yeah, night one was, yeah.
Yeah, night one was pretty much WWE Metal, if you're old enough to remember that show. That was pretty much night one. I have no idea what happened. I don't know what they would think was night one. Night one was probably just like a trial run to set up for what was. We had on Sunday. That's the best way I can describe it.
That's exactly what it was. It was just to set up the better night. But I will say, one started off a little bit disappointing, but at least it ended on a positive note. I will say that.
My opinion on night one, man, I got to be honest. While I enjoyed all the matches, 95% of it was boring, except just like last year, I thought that the Intercontinental title match stole the show. And I think that was the best match of night one, because I know people wanted The Rock and Roman and that to be like the best match. To some people, I'm sure it is, but I felt that was very, very disappointing when we could have had something better. They made up for it, obviously, but that was a shitty way to end night, at least for that match, in my opinion. I expected a whole hell of a lot more, but again, they made up for it the second night.
They did. And listen, usually the thing is to kind of go match by match, but since we're kind of talking about night one, I mean, you know, I got to tell you, Sami Zayn and Gunther never would have expected that change. I was hoping at least Sami Zayn doesn't job out to Gunther. I was hoping it would be like a losing effort, but I got to be honest, I got more than what I could bargain for.
I honestly thought... Oh, sorry, go ahead, man.
I have to agree with you guys. I mean, I've been following El Generico, Sami Zayn, his entire career from Ring of Honor all the way until now, and I remember the matches that he had in Ring of Honor, and I thought he finally brought his A game to the WWE. This really has been the past 18 months, I would say, he's really brought his game back. And now that Vince is long out of the picture, Triple H is letting these indie guys that came from the indie, like KO and like Sami Zayn, be themselves. And when they're themselves, we know it's about pro wrestling for a long time. When they're themselves, they light up the stage. And that's exactly what Gunther and it's exactly what Sami Zayn did. They lit it up on night one. They stole the absolute show. They really did.
Okay. Go ahead, Tony.
And I really love that match. That was the best match of the night. As for the main event, I thought the main event was absolute trash.
Because
to have The Rock say, I'm on the board of directors. First of all, Rock is not on the board of directors of the WWE. That's number one. I don't know what company thinks he's running around here, but he's not running the World Wrestling Entertainment. That's number one. So to threaten a referee and tell a referee I'm going to effing fire you is just ridiculous. To go after Cody's mom like that is just stupid. He should know better, because people have been going after his family for over a year and a half now. So to turn around and tell Cody to go after his mom like that is just ridiculous. And I thought the match wasn't that great. For Rock to pretend that he's a new missing man is just stupid. I'll agree with you there, sir. That was just horribly done. So I think that night one could have given us a lot better.
It could have. Yeah, it could have been a lot better. I think that I'll say this, and I know it's kind of not fair to say it, but I feel that the Rhea Ripley and Lynch match was very disappointing. That was probably, to me, that was the most boring match, because It felt rushed, and they mentioned several times at the beginning that Becky Lynch is fighting with strep throat. I kind of figured that was their way of saying, hey, shit changes. Plans change. Because I really don't – I kind of didn't think that Rhea was going to win. But then again, remember, Becky did bring up the fact that there's 2 months left on her contract. So yeah. I looked at it from the outside, which was, if that's true and we don't know what her status is, would you give her a champion? So that's kind of what I figured would be the outcome, was Becky's either going to win because they've got plans for her, or they have plans for Rhea, or something could happen. And it looks to me like something happened. It sounds like that was an unplanned decision. It could be that Rhea was supposed to win, but I felt like there could have been more out of that match. That was a really hyped match, and I got to say that was the most boring one to me. I wanted to say the same about Santos and Mysterio, but that was actually pretty entertaining.
I mean, it's good to see
Andrade.
I think that, like, with the Sami Zayn and Gunther thing, so I think the reason that was so high on the list for me was because I got to admit something. I was never a fan of Sami Zayn at all. Not until, I don't know how bad this sounds, but not until last year, Elimination Chamber. Because, dude, my introduction to Sami Zayn was when he came back after being injured and he went down his little Sammy's Innocent phase, which was fine. It was funny, but that was my introduction. So I had no hope for the guy. And then I see him take on Roman at Elimination Chamber and I was actually blown away. And then time goes on and I'm watching him more. And I was like, okay, so my decision's been altered on this guy, because what Mark had said is true. When you allow these guys to be themselves, when you give them some form of creative freedom, they can make a character that you didn't give a shit about become someone you actually love. That's what John Moxley did for me. I'd never cared for Dean Ambrose. I always thought he was a laughable person. I still had a little bit of heat even when he was John Moxley. I was like, yeah, you're still Dean Ambrose, man. I still don't like you. But then time went on and I was like, okay, so now I view him as a badass. I wouldn't have thought that way about Dean Ambrose. So when you allow these guys to be themselves, they can surprise the shit out of you. And that's what Sami Zayn has done for me.
And look what it did with The Rock. Look what it did for Stone Cold. Look what it did for Triple H. Look what it did
Absolutely.
For so many people from the Attitude Era. I got to give credit to Bruce Pritchard for this one. For Bruce Pritchard to say, look, we have to let these guys and be themselves, because the sky is the limit. We did that with the women's division, with Bayley, with all the four horsewomen. With Rhea Ripley now, we've allowed them, with Liv Morgan, WWE's now allowing them to be themselves for the first time in, I would say, at least 4 years. When you do that, it pops much better, and it looks better on TV. I'm gonna disagree with you though. I thought the worst match was honestly there were two of them I wasn't impressed with. The ladder match I was absolutely bored with to death because it was the same old.
Yeah, same here.
Jimmy versus Jay was so disappointing.
Yes.
It was like watching paint dry. But as for Becky Lynch and Rhea, Becky's contract is up, but there's a lot of rumors going around about her. One of the rumors is that she's possibly pregnant. I don't know how true that is. There's another one that she's going to go on the book tour, which is probably true. It's why she'd win the belt. Rhea's been an outstanding champion the entire year. The Judgment Day is getting more and more popular, and we'll get to that in a few seconds. The Ray match I thought was a good match. We learned that Dominic can't do anything in a ring, but that's just on him. But Escobar, Ray, and Ray's partner really brought it. We did not mention the six woman tag match, which I thought was absolutely horrible.
Yes,
and the wrong team won. Damage Control has to start taking some wins.
I'm not surprised Kai was pinned, though, I'll tell you that.
I'm sorry?
I'm not surprised that Dakota Kai was the one who was pinned.
Of course.
Dakota Kai is the weak link in that group, let's be honest here.
Yeah.
She really is. So.
No argument there.
So I don't know how far they're going to go with this anymore, but we will see. But I thought night one was just atrociously boring.
Yeah.
Though, as far as a sibling match, I've been convinced for a long time there's never going to be a sibling match better than Brett versus Owen back at WrestleMania 10.
Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy were pretty close, but yeah, Brett and Owen definitely set the bar for that one. It wasn't even close.
Bret and Owen went 20 minutes and put on a hell of a match to open the show.
I will put it to you this way. That is the greatest opening match in the history of WrestleMania. And that says a lot, being the fact how many great matches that opened the show.
Right.
So, but that to me is the standard of opening matches.
As far as what do I think of Rhea and Becky, now I did pick Rhea. I will say this for entrance, though. I liked her entrance. I'm starting to get a feel that Rhea Ripley, they're going to find a way to, I feel like she's ahead. Because of how popular she is, they may have no choice but to turn her face.
I think she's already face, honestly.
Well, probably a crowd. What do you call it when someone's between a face or a heel?
Like Bailey was a few months ago.
Yeah.
That's essentially like when you do a good example, Steve Austin, when they tried to make him a bad guy, people still loved him. So that's right. Kind of where she's at. And I think that I'm not a fan of Judgment Day, but I do feel that a baby face turn might actually save them. It's just how would you put them in that position? That's the question. You got to find a way to make them the good guy, because people do like him even as a bad guy. That's the problem, is they're stuck in that. But I think it would really benefit them to be in a position where it's them against Bloodline or whoever. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the Bloodline after all this. But
carry them, maybe.
Who cares?
Pretty much, man. That's how I feel about it. I wanted that shit to end like 3 years ago.
When Jimmy and Jay Virgil dropped out, that's when it should have been over.
Yeah, and that match was awful too. That Jimmy and Jay, yeah. I expected more. That was I've seen better matches with those two on a Monday Night Raw and a SmackDown than I ever had seen with that match. That was ridiculous. But I'm glad Jay won, just because, again, the Usos are someone that I had a hard time taking an interest in, but once Jay went solo, I actually thought he was interesting. So obviously I'm rooting for him. Like, I love the bad guys. Typically I love the heels, but as tradition, I always root for the good guy. That's just a traditional thing, but I still like the bad guys.
Well, that's what makes it interesting, doesn't it? Who roots for what? I'm not a Judgment Day fan either. I don't like Dominic at all. I think Dominic's nothing more than, excuse the term, but a little bitch. Let's be honest here, because that's exactly what he is. But the other guys, I've always liked. Finn Balor, I was there at SummerSlam when he won his first title.
Yeah.
And I remember him at NXT. So the Judgment Day does have a lot of talent in it, and as of splitting them up. They could maybe do a half and half. You know, one half goes face, one half stays heel. I don't know what they're gonna do, but
Civil War.
Possibly, yeah, we could possibly see it.
That would be a good way.
I think so. I think Alex is right.
Now, as far as the ladder match, well, see, I wasn't aware, Mark, when you liked the preview, I wasn't aware that both sets of belts, like each set, would be on the line in a different way. I thought it was gonna be all of them, so it's good that the whole undisputed tag team thing's kind of done, but still,
yes.
I did pick the Awesome Truth, so I still got my prediction right. Mark, I know you're not a fan of Miz, but you gotta admit, though, R-Truth does deserve this moment.
I don't like his character right now. I don't understand what they're doing with him right now. I really don't. His character's too confusing. Because first he wants to be heel, then he wants his face, then he wants to be heel, then he's a clown, then he does this. And The Miz, I just can't freaking stand. I don't think that he's a good dancing partner for Truth anyway. I don't think Miz being the company at all, number one. And number two, I don't know what they're doing with him. As for the other team, I don't know too much about Theory and Waller on, about Waller, whatever the hell, Waller and Theory. I'm just not really a fan. I didn't like any of the six teams involved in this. I thought you were,
me either.
I thought you were the worst six teams to ever compete in a ladder match. It's not even close how bad this was.
Except the New Day?
Not exactly a fan of New Day either. I like Kofi Kingston. Separately, they're fine. Together, not that great.
See, I like that they did split up the titles because I was tired of the Undisputed crap. But
my
problem with Miz and R-Truth winning is, I like them both. I can tolerate them. I'm not a huge fan, but I feel like those guys have reached a point in their career where they've kind of done it all and they don't need a tag team champion. So that's a little bizarre to me. I feel like those guys are basically veterans. And when you're a veteran, it kind of looks dumb when you have a champion. You don't need one. You've already excelled. But I guess, you know, I mean, yeah, in a way, I think that Truth has earned it, because my problem with him was every time they had him around, he was a laughingstock. That's all it was. He wasn't doing anything. And then they finally put him in and he's wrestling. And I'm like, okay, that's what I want to see, because I grew up watching him. So what are we doing? But the whole awesome Truth thing is weird. I don't mind The Miz. I respect him enough to say that he'll be a Hall of Famer one day, but he's not my cup of tea. Now, with the other team, I don't really care for Theory. I never have. Grayson Waller, I find him interesting because, to me, he is The Miz. He's a better version of The Miz.
He's
a more charismatic version of The Miz. He makes sense, whereas The Miz is kind of confusing at times.
The Miz is just awful.
He's basically what Austin Theory wanted Vince to be. Like, right. I thought Austin Theory would be like the new Miz, but it's like Grayson Waller is not only the one who's doing it, but he's actually taking it farther than we could ever anticipate. In other words, Grayson Waller is basically surprising us, which honestly I appreciate. I like a wrestler when we underestimate a certain wrestler's charisma, ability, talent, you name it, and then they kind of prove us wrong in such a big way. Honestly, I like it. So
I'm just going to say this. I've never been a fan of The Miz. I can't stand him. And I think R-Truth, was better in other companies than WWE. I'm going to put it to you that way. But I will say this about also, I am sick and tired of when you watch a WWE pay-per-view. I don't need the commercials. If you want to watch commercials, I watch Monday Night Raw. I don't need the commercials.
Exactly.
I don't need the commercials. I don't need the stack or two. Whatever other product they are pulling out there, I don't need to see the commercials. The other thing that pisses me off is, what is every match in the video package all of a sudden? If you remember back in the days of maybe the first 12 WrestleManias, only the main event got the packages.
Right.
It was interviews, matches, shows over. I don't need to see. I know what's going on.
Right.
I see 10,000 video packages. Get them to the freaking ring.
See, I don't know if it's just me complaining about it, but I felt like this year everybody had something special to their fucking entrance, which is fine. It's cool to see that at the main event, but I don't need to see it every single match, dude. I have a problem with that too, because the video packages take like 5 to 10 minutes, unfortunately, and then them walking to the ring is typically about 5. But when you do the special shit, there's another 10-15 minutes per fucking person, and then we've wasted 30 minutes to get a match that's going to end up being mediocre if they don't put in fucking thought to it, which felt like night one.
You talked about a while, Tony, about the time wasting. We've talked about this before.
Yes, I feel, and every company is guilty of this too, AEW especially. They waste so much fucking time announcing them, getting them to the ring, and then giving us a shit match. And it's like, dude, that's why, because you're spending so much time on the special entrances. That's a WrestleMania thing for the main event, or both main events now, I guess, since we got two nights. But every person doing it, man, it just takes too damn long.
I didn't mind when it's for the world titles. Even with the women's titles, I was cool with it.
Right.
But the U.S. title's not the point of a belt anymore. It's kind of a dead title.
Yeah.
The IC title's the workman's title. I don't need a package for that. I didn't need a package for the tag titles since all six teams sucked anyway. So there were certain – and do we really need a package for AJ against LA Knight and Naito? What the hell?
I didn't think we needed that. I mean, like, I loved the match, and that one was kind of an iffy one for me because I like them both. I'm a big AJ Styles fan, but I also am huge into LA Knight just because I had no clue who this dude was until he was what the fuck was his name? Max Dupree, and I thought he was stupid. And then he became LA Knight, and everybody was like, that's who he was before. And I was like, I don't know who this man is, and just his character, everything about him reminded me of growing up. Because when you see him, you think Attitude Era. That's just what he reminds you of. He's like a throwback. The problem is we have a lot of people that are from the Attitude Era now in the industry wrestling, so he gets kind of put on the back burner. But it was an okay match, but we didn't need a video package for it, and I kind of felt like that was a storyline that's been, 4 months in the making now? And right. It took him this long to do it?
Well, it started at the Rumble, if I remember correctly, because LA Knight eliminated AJ Styles. Well, kind of like the Roddy Piper, Bad News Brown situation for WrestleMania 6, if you remember that far back. But I thought they did that one a little bit better. I did enjoy the LA Knight Styles match. I thought that they brought their A game. I thought it was a very good match. Did we need the 5-minute promo? No. We didn't. But this was kind of unlike night one, where they didn't bring their A game. They brought their A game for night two. Or top to bottom, they really did. And I thought, if you want to start the AJ in LA Knight AJ match, they brought it. They really did. They pulled out all the stops. Knight took the win. I Alex, you and I agreed that he was going to, because he needed the win.
Yes.
Knight's growing on me. I'm AJ Styles from the old days of Ring of Honor, TNA, all the way till now. But AJ's had an amazing career.
Yeah.
But if you want to get somebody over, he's got to be an A player. AJ's an A-list. So it had to be done. We knew that, Alex. Me and you said night one on our pre-show, we thought that AJ was gonna do the job for night, and he absolutely did.
Yeah, because AJ Styles is so beyond legendary solidified that he's over no matter what. And AJ Styles, I gotta tell you, this dude is one of the reasons one of those guys who convinced me to love wrestling as a whole. Be tribalism, BS, you know, like, as Adam Copeland said, like, he taught me, like, love TNA wrestling, love New Japan, love WWE, love AEW, love pro wrestling.
Yep.
So
I walked away from pro wrestling.
And I'm a little off topic, but WWE is not the only one that did a good job this week, and I think Ring of Honor did too with their show, with Super Card of Honor. And there is an episode about Mark Briscoe becoming the new Ring of Honor champion. Congratulations to Mark Briscoe. He deserved it.
Absolutely.
I am bummed.
We don't miss him, brother, by the way.
Before, but you know what? Eddie Kingston doesn't need – I think Eddie Kingston dropping the belt, it's not going to hurt him.
I don't think it's going to hurt me. First of all, we miss the other half of the Briscoe brothers, because I remember I was at the craziest matches. Alex, you and I did that show. I'm happy for Mark that he won the title, but we do miss the brothers. I walked away from professional wrestling for a couple of years, and then my buddy took me to Ring of Honor and brought me back. One of the people that brought me back was AJ Styles. Now, so the Briscoes, Samoa Joe, CM Punk. The Indies brought me back, and then went back to WWE because that's where they're headed anyway. But AJ Knight, they really brung it. They did what they had to do. It was a 15-minute match. It didn't even feel like it. It was just fast-paced, and that's the kind of match we wanted. We want these kind of in this situation. We really do.
Yeah. Now, as far as the final match of night one.
No.
Well,
oh my God.
I will say it was not difficult for me to get through it. It could have been better, but I'll be honest with you. I might be the biggest idiot for saying this, but it could have been worse. It really could have been worse.
It could have been worse, but, dude, it was very disappointing. We got all that build-up, all that manpower and shit just for that. That was – it felt short. But then again, I was, like, 20 beers in by that point, so maybe I missed some of it. But it felt like a short match to me. And the ending was just stupid, man. I mean, it made sense. Here's the thing, dude. You can't really be shocked. I kind of knew that was going to happen. The second they named that as a stipulation, I was like, yeah, that's purely so they can milk it for what it's worth. And I'm sure somewhere in The Rock's mind, he was like, well, what the fuck, man? I have to be the bigger person and take a step back to make people happy. But I'm going to get what the fuck I want one way or another. So I think that was clearly his decision. I mean, again, when they announced that, you're immediately thinking, okay, so it's going to be Bloodline Rules on Sunday. That's kind of already been accepted, and I just knew that was going to happen. But they couldn't they couldn't pull off an element of surprise, which night two they did. While they pretty much solidified that Cody was going to win, I mean, let's be honest, we kind of figured he was going to win at this point, right?
Yeah, we know.
But however, there was, well, there was like that doubt in the back of my mind. I kept still thinking like, shit, I don't know if this is going to go the way that I'm hoping it does. And they still surprised me with that, which is I wish they would have done that with night one. Even if The Rock and them had won, that's fine, but I want a surprise out of it. That just felt like a cookie-cutter match.
It was 45. It was almost 45 minutes long. It was the second longest match in history, in history of the show. The first one, obviously, was Burton Show, and they went over an hour. My problem with it is that they tried too hard to make it an Attitude Era match. They really did.
Yeah.
I don't know if The Rock was involved in that decision, Triple H was involved in that decision. I don't know. But I honestly thought they were trying a little bit too hard because they wanted The Rock to be all heel, and Rock is the pain in the ass anyway. His ego is writing checks. His body can't cash anymore.
Yes.
And we know about Roman. Roman cannot wrestle at all.
He's terrible.
Roman's horrible. Seth was injured at the time. He's been dealing with that knee, so he did really well. And Cody was just all fired up and saying, all right, you know what's going to happen tonight, too. Let's just get this off with. And I think that's what the four of them thought. Rock was just trying to be, you know, I'm the man. I'm all pumped up. And, you know, this is my show and all this. And everybody's looking at him like, you want to stop being a dick for like 4 seconds? And so that was
shit. You're entertaining, Mark. You know that? You guys surprised that The Rock's Hollywood theme was playing at his entrance music when he makes his entrance? I'm not, because you know what? It only makes sense. At this point, if Rock's heel, he's going to put the Hollywood egomaniacal attitude into it. So the Hollywood theme, it fits. It's not just for nostalgic reasons to make us feel like we're back in 2003. It's because it makes sense. It fits.
Well, it works. He kind of has to, because I'm sure at some point the plan was for Roman and Rock, which a lot of us do want, and I do too, but I wanted that shit years ago. This was just the worst timing, and I didn't want it. I'm glad we didn't get it, but I'm sure somewhere in his mind that was the plan, and so they had to basically take the fucking foot off the, you know, the pedal, and then they're like, well, what do we do now? And that means that he's going to have to suck ass, and the only way for that to work is for him to be an asshole. You can't convince me that he's going to just sit there and go, you know what, Cody is right. This is the right thing to do. How noble. That wouldn't have worked, dude. He had to be a dickhead. They had to go this route, which I liked. I'll give everybody that was involved credit for doing a great job. I still say, in my opinion, that I felt like Seth Rollins was treated like shit for this entire period because they acted as if he wouldn't have been a big enough draw. And I'm not a Rollins fan. I'm not. But, dude, I'm willing to say respectfully that he's a great wrestler. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is a draw, but they were treating him as if he was a second-rate wrestler. And I'm not mad about him losing his belt. I knew that was going to happen. And I knew how they were going to do it, too, but it still caught me by surprise. So kudos to them. But I just I felt like he was being treated like shit the whole time.
All right, so we're going tonight, too. First of all, I am a Seth Rollins fan. I've always liked him. I was always impressed by his talent in the ring, his ability to wrestle. He's a wrestler's wrestler. Unlike that idiot Roman, if I put Seth Rollins in there with anybody, it's going to be a match. I could put him in there with Darth Vader, and it's going to be a wrestling match. You can't say that about Roman. So we're talking about a very talented person, and Seth Rollins took a brand new title and made it relevant for over a year. The only reason why he dropped the belt was because he's injured. Yep. We know he's going for surgery. He made the announcement Monday Night Raw, my knee's killing me. Okay, good luck. We'll see you when it was. I have the same injury he has. I've had it for a while already. I've had 4 surgeries. I'm done. Believe me when I tell you, you never come back the same. It's going to be very, very painful. Extremely painful on him. So kudos to him for wrestling with that kind of a leg injury. He gave a hell of a match last night against Drew. And then we all saw this coming, but I was kind of like cool with it, but we all saw it coming. CM Punk was there. obviously he's healed up.
Yeah.
And I thought CM Punk and Drew were going to go at it, and they did for a few seconds, and then here comes Priest to cash in. Alex, you said it was going to happen anyway on our pre-show.
Good storytelling, though, because I fell for it.
I did say it wouldn't surprise me if it did. Now, for one second, guys, I'm going to go back to The Rock just for a second. We have to give him credit, though. The Rock turning heel and him changing the plans of him and Roman, he did say it's because he basically gave the fans what they liked, what they wanted. So at the same time, Rock did all this, the heel turn of everything, he's doing it for the fans. It's because he knows that it's going to. So props to The Rock for this. Now, you're right about Seth. You know, I love Seth Rollins. He's been champion for a little over 300 days. And when he won the championship, Mark, we talked about it, and you and I were seriously praying to God that they wouldn't botch this like they did in 2019. And they didn't. Thankfully, they did not. Well, okay, thankfully, Triple H did not. And as well as Bruce Pritchard and Nick Khan, and I'm sure all the other guys that were like that. And I think they kept Vince away from it. But it's not just his knee, guys. It's, you know, I'm sure he's had neck problems since his days at Ring of Honor. I think he had a neck injury when he was at Ring of Honor. It's his neck, his back, I'm sure his shoulders, and I'm sure he's probably had a few concussions. Guys, this is what – when you are a – dedicated lover of what you do, like Seth Rollins, you fight day in and day out, and you tell creative, I want to be a fighting champion, I want to go out there every night. It does not come with consequence, but you know what? It goes to show that Seth Rollins is far beyond a guy who just simply works his butt off. Seth Rollins has bled for this company, he's broken his back, he has carried this company, he blew out every ligament in his knee more than once. My God, Seth Rollins helped make this company what it is today.
I'll put it to this way. I remember when he was Tyler Black in Ring of Honor.
And he was a great wrestler. You were there when he lost the title to, I think it was Roddy Strong?
I was there when he won the title also. I was there when he lost it. I was there when he won it. I followed his whole career. I remember his wars with Austin Aries. I remember his wars with Roddy Strong. We brought that to WWE. He's had wars here. This run, I think, was his best work in a long time because he knew it was necessary. All right, if Dickless over here, Roman Reigns is going to do nothing with his belt, I'm going to show what it means to be champion. I'm going to be in that ring on every Raw, every house show, every pay-per-view. I'm going to bring the title, and that's exactly what he did. And I'm very happy for Seth Rollins, and I wish him well with the knee. But let's see what Damian Priest can do with it now. And that's the big question. What is Damian Priest going to do with the belt? Is he going to be a fighting champion, or are we going to have Roman 2.0 again? Let's hope we don't have Roman 2.0, though. Anything.
Amen to that, brother. What do you think, Tony? Let's hear it, brother.
Well, I kind of knew he was going to lose it. And I fell for the CM Punk angle because I legit thought he was injured. I wondered in the back of my mind if this was part of some sort of story. And sure enough, it was. And I thought it worked out great. And see, I like Seth Rollins for this one reason. I'm not a fan of him, but I like that he took a title that everyone was calling a paper champion. And he made it relevant. For me personally, he made it more relevant than the other piece of shit. Because
while
that title was cool and all, it lost interest for me because he was never there to defend it. And I just saw that champion as a way of saying that's his trophy. I stopped caring about that title for a long time. I just didn't care for it. I thought the world title was the title. So, I mean, I got to give him props for that. I didn't think he was going to hold it as long as he did. I'm glad he did, though, because, yeah, I agree. This is his best run. I do like his stuff in the Shield, but I thought this was just way better. And I think the best part about this match, honestly, man, is that they play on that emotion where Drew McIntyre was pretty much screwed when he first had a world champion. Yeah, he earned it, but he had nobody there to support him. So they touch on that when he does win, and you can feel that moment, and then sure enough, it's over, which kind of sucks, but I'm happy with that because Damian Priest is a guy that, I mean, let's say it. I hate to say this, but technically he's old. He's at an age where if he doesn't do something now, he's screwed. So this is the perfect timing. So, I mean, I can get behind that versus Drew McIntyre, because I'm sure there's more for Drew, and I'm positive we're going to get Drew and CM Punk at some point, maybe at Mania. But I thought the first match was killer. I mean, the first match gave me what I wanted to have out of night one.
Right? Yeah. I do have something to ask you guys, though. You guys noticed that McIntyre and Rollins briefly broke character, like after the match. You saw how McIntyre looked at Rollins and how Rollins responded. You can tell they both briefly broke character.
I think I can explain that. Have you guys been looking at any of the dirt sheets from last night? So, and again, this is just a dirt sheet. So, I mean, in my opinion, most of the time they're fucking wrong and they just lie out their ass. But sometimes they're right. And this happens to be a moment where it's been proven they were right.
They need something with the readers, you know?
Well, what they did was they changed the plan, like, last minute. So Drew was supposed to win. But according to some of these reports, they found out right then and there that Damian was going to go down there. And Damian found out as well. He was standing backstage. Supposedly, Triple H went up to him and said, "Hey, guess what? You're winning the world champion." And that was that. He was like, "Oh," and they're like, "Yeah, so it's time for you to go outside." And of course, he made sure the refs knew that to tell Seth and them, but that might be why they were genuinely surprised, because nobody actually knew that was going to happen. They just knew that Drew was supposed to win. So, I mean, it's interesting.
Seth Rollins is pure class. When he lost the world heavyweight title, he handed it in Ring of Honor. He handed it to the guy he lost it to. Now, he did it once again. He was outside the ring. He pointed to Drew. He said, "Good luck, well done," and walked away. That's just Seth Rollins in a freaking nutshell. But he's always been a class act. As the dirt sheets, I don't know. I don't pay attention to him because, you know, all they do is lie.
Yes.
Maybe it was the plan. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But we kind of sort of felt it coming. But at the same time, nobody knew CM Punk was going to be there, and that's. WWE is always shining this and always shocking the hell out of us. And this is what we wanted in night one, explosive and shocking. So that's what we got. The street fight, though, Team 3D.
I know. That was, I'm not going to lie, that was a decent match. I wasn't too thrilled with it, but as a big ECW person, I took interest in that. So, I mean, it was cool to see Bubba back. I mean, that was, I don't like what he has to say on his podcast, man. I really don't like listening to him, but I love his character. I've always thought he was a badass. And like when I was a kid, man, 3D, get the tables, that was a thing. So
loved it.
To see that again, it actually made it worth it for me. And I'm happy because I wanted Lashley to win, even though I can't stand Lashley or Street Profits, but they needed that win. Because, let's be honest, while they're badasses, they've been kind of getting their asses handed to them, which is an inappropriate way to build them up. So they needed that win. It was an okay match. I didn't think it was bad. I enjoyed it. It just wasn't. It didn't blow the fucking roof off for me.
I felt something for it, you know, and I talked to Mark about it on the preview because I'm a huge fan of the Authors of Pain, and I'm still disappointed how the first run ended the way it did. Because of how their first run in NXT, especially with Paul Ellering as their manager, and of course, we all know Paul Ellering managed the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, whichever you want to call them. So, I'm really hoping now that the Authors of Pain are sort of back, they can kind of make them good again. It could still happen. I just don't know what to expect. You know what? Honestly, since I don't know what to expect, I'm not expecting any miracles, if that makes any sense. I think at first this match, I was like, okay, it's a Philadelphia street fight, but since WWE is still PG, is it really going to be an authentic street fight? Nah.
No.
Because WWE needs to stop this whole PG BS. Seriously. In my opinion, pro wrestling is not PG. Never should be. Never should have been. Never should be. Like, never. So, but when Bully Ray, okay, Bubba Ray, but I like to call him Bully Ray because that's his, you know, most well-known persona. To see him as the special guest referee, I'm like, okay, this could mean something. That definitely means we'll be seeing the tables. when he pulled out the glasses during the match, like, oh my goodness. the nerdy glasses, all that. Oh, Bully Ray really just gave us an ECW nostalgia thing, and I'm so grateful.
Right. It was just a nostalgia ride. That's what I enjoyed about it the most.
I loved it. I'm telling you, I'm a fan of ECW. I grew up with RVD. I grew up with Sabu. I grew up with with the Dudleys before they were all ruined by McMahon. When I start off thinking, all right, this is going to be a typical boring PG match. And then the Testament screwed up, put their hands on the Dudley boys. And in Philadelphia, it's a different monster. You do not put your hands on the Dudleys. That's just a no-no. When those glasses came out, I knew we were going to get the What's Up thing. I knew we were going to get the table thing. And I was very happy to see that.
Yeah.
Like I said in a pre-show, I did not care about this match. I'm not a fan of either team, honestly. Bobby Lashley, I've always had respect for, though. First, he's a veteran. Second of all, more important than anything like that, he's always put on good matches. So I'm not a Street Profits fan, but I do respect Bobby Lashley. I thought the match was pretty good. I love the fact that D-Von came out, that Bobby came out. But where the hell was D-Von?
Right, that's the missing link.
Well, it's interesting. Bully is actually signed to TNA Wrestling, as is Tommy Dreamer. So you know what? I've noticed it. See, you can tell WWE is showing more and more signs of working with other promotions. Nick Khan even talked that they want to go deeper into it.
So, yeah, they want to open that up a little bit, because Triple H kind of put it best. He was like, you know, we're not going to call it the Forbidden Door. That's a silly term, which a lot of people saw as a stab at AEW. And I looked at it like, no, it's not. He's probably saying that to call it the Forbidden Door is dumb. We've acknowledged that we're not the only company that exists. Yep. And that in the future, we would like to find a way to basically make all this work. Because, no, I don't see them doing any partnerships with anybody. But I do see them doing something like, for example, years from now, TNA is celebrating something, right? And they decide, okay, well, for that celebration, we'll let people like AJ Styles or whoever show up and do a match. And that would be cool. Yeah, that would be really cool to see. I think that that's what we'll see more of. I don't think we'll be seeing any like cross promoting like we saw with TNA and AEW. That's not fucking happening. It doesn't matter who owns WWE. That's not happening, because as much as I can't stand that WWE is the end all be all mentality, the fact of the matter is, if you're a businessman and you're looking at it from a business perspective, you're not going to cross promote with your competition. So
I can answer that one. I had a catering company for a long time in Massachusetts with my cousin. We used to lend them out. We used to lend other chefs to other companies all the time.
Right.
It was no big deal. It was always, okay, they call us on the phone, Mark, can we get a barrier baker? Okay, cool, we'll send them, no problemo.
Right.
And that's kind of like you're talking about. But I will say one thing. I want to correct one thing. Last night on this show, they said that Paul Ellering has never been on a WrestleMania before. That is absolutely 100% not correct. He was at WrestleMania 8 when Mean Gene, may he rest in peace, interviewed LOD, Legion of Doom, called out Paul Ellering. He came out at WrestleMania 8. So we're going to correct that right now. Michael Cole and Corey Graves need to do the research before they open up their mouths. That was one of the rare mistakes that they made last night. But, again, like you said, like if they do cross promotion, fine. Just please no more interview. Just please no more invasion angles. That was just terrible.
Yeah, I don't want to see that shit.
No, the invasion angle. You and Alex, you and I covered this already. Was an absolute disaster. It really was.
And we talked about how when Bubba Ray pulled out the glasses. Now we all remember the Dudley Commandments, right? Thou shall not kill. Thou shall not steal. Thou shall not what, Mark?
With the Dudley boys.
Right. So it was just, you know, so much nostalgia. So I just wanted to point that out. But we talked about LA Knight and AJ Styles. Well, we should definitely get this match out of the way. The triple threat match for the United States Championship. Now, first things first, I'm going to say, because Sami Zayn won, that's when I had my change of heart. And that my change of heart, I was hoping Kevin Owens would win it.
I thought that he might, because Before Sami Zayn's match, Kevin Owens fired him up, and then they showed Sami Zayn firing up Kevin Owens. So I thought it was a possibility. Yeah. But I was wrong. I picked Randy Orton to win this thing. I was wrong. And
I wanted Kevin to win just because I felt like he earned it. And I've always felt that Kevin's kind of gotten shafted in terms of title runs.
I agree. Yeah.
I like Logan Paul. Most people don't. I get that. But I don't want him as champion. I have a really, really... I'm not a fan of celebrities being in wrestling, A. If they can do it, which he's proven he can, then fine. But I also don't like them having champions when they're not going to be present like a champion should. So that's my own personal problem with that. And then I do like Randy Orton. I'm an Orton fan, but again, it goes back to my bias where I look at it as a guy like Randy, who's just a pure legend. I don't like seeing them with belts. They're just... I hate saying they're too old, but I just don't like seeing them with belts when they're that big. When they're so big, they don't need it. Especially United States champion. It'd make more sense if they were like, fuck it, let's give Randy a heavyweight champion or whatever. Okay, I'll accept that, but a United States champion, that's like... I mean, you saw when they did that shit with John Cena right after 5 years of Cena with a champion left and right. How well did that work out? But it was an okay match. You know, like, filler.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, Randy Orton with U.S. title, I can't see it. The fact that I can't see it makes no sense. But and I said this on the pre-show, the last time when they put the U.S. title on Kevin Owens, it was a disaster. It was so disastrous that for one time they had him come out in a gray suit in a blue tie, I believe. It was so bad. I don't even remember what the character was. I think he was starting to do like, I love America. I'm Canadian, but I love America. It's my favorite country. And it was so horrible. It only lasted 5 seconds.
It was an awful run.
I don't want to see the U.S. title be put on Kevin. I see him more as Intercontinental Championship material because, not because if it's because he's, you know, from Canada, but it's just that when I see Kevin Owens, the way he speaks, the way he carries himself, his great wrestling ability, he's more Intercontinental title status. But I've got to be honest with you. The current Intercontinental title is so ugly that seeing it on Kevin is it makes more sense with him with the white strap. That was better.
I get hate for this all the time. I think all those titles look ugly. They look like toys. Dude, that's my problem with them. I get you got to, you know, innovate and update and be more modern, but dude, those titles look like toys. That's my biggest problem with them. I'm with them. I get it. I can tolerate it. I'm sorry, man, but nothing to me beats that big gold belt or like the original WWF champion, not the one that Hogan and or not the one that Steve Austin won the first time. But the second one, it's that same design, but they took out the old WWF logo a little bit right before the whole WCW shit started popping off. But those two belts, to me, they had not just relevance, but they looked like something that was worth fighting for. But if you put those side by side to the newer belts, those don't really look like something worth fighting for. But again, I can get with it, I guess.
I am a very big fan of the Eagle. I'm so old. I remember the Eagle Wing title, the one that Hogan and Savage and all those guys had back in the 80s and the early 90s. That was my favorite title. I hated the spinner belt with every passion of my being. I couldn't stand anything. I thought that thing was ugly as hell. These new ones look like something you want to give a five-year-old kid and make him say you're the WWE champion just for fun.
Exactly.
I don't like the belts at all. I honestly don't. I think the big WWF thing in the WWE thing in the middle looks terrible. Like that World Heavyweight Champion that meant something to everybody, but at least the women don't have to go up that stupid Divas title anymore. Let's be honest here. At least now they have real. Now they have real belts to fight for. So the men's titles I hate, but the women's belts are really nice. I think the women's belts are really cool. The men's belts, however, are awful, and the tag titles look terrible.
Yeah. The tag titles look like something you win at a karate contest.
Yeah, I'm a martial artist, so I've won. I'm a martial artist, and we didn't have anything that ugly even in the martial arts. But I mean, this looks like something that you would win in, let's say, if you were to play water polo. That's the kind of thing that's look. It just looks ugly, terrible. I don't want it. But
right.
As for the match, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't great. I'm not happy Paul Hogan won either. I thought I honestly wanted the RKO or KO to win this, obviously, but that's not what we got. But we're going to put Logan Paul for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
As for KO getting the belt, KO needs the WWE title already.
Yeah.
KO needs the world title already. So I don't know if he's going to go after. Honestly, I prefer if he went after Priest right now than Cody. Go after Priest, but that's just me. And I think that's what I think that's what we're leaning towards. Honestly.
Right. I mean, I guess the part is, you know, when the RKO that Orton delivered, I guess, is the highlight of the match, right?
Yeah, that was a great move. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was insane.
But then the
RKO, the Diamond Cutter comes out of nowhere. So there you go. Either way.
Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that match. I mean, it's really the match itself. You know, you kind of talk about the competitors, more like Kevin and Randy Orton as far as their status goes with this company. I mean, you know, I'll have to wait and see. But you know, this match, I mean, I guess, you know, a little bit difficult to get through, but. You know, but I made through it.
I enjoyed the match, honestly. I wasn't as disappointed you two were. I mean, I thought they brought their game, but I was disappointed how Paul Hogan won it, obviously. I think he stole the goddamn... He stole the win. But then again, he's a heel, and that's what heels do. But it was just... I wasn't impressed with the finish, but I was impressed how Kevin Owens got the stunner and that the RKO came out of nowhere. I think the match would have been better if we would eliminate Paul Logan at all, and we just would have had Kevin Owens against Randy. Would have been a much better fight. I think what should happen is one of them should have beat him on SmackDown or Raw for the title. Then you bring it to WrestleMania. We did not need Paul Logan in this match at all.
All
right. I'll get you on that one, Tony. I don't think he belongs here.
All right, Tony, go ahead.
I thought it was a decent match. It wasn't bad. I liked it. You know, it wasn't painful to watch. It just felt like a weird match. It was something that, while they brought their A game, it kind of just felt like the chemistry was off between all three of them. They're like three different people in three different worlds, and they put them together for this match. So it was a little awkward, but I thought they did fine with what they had. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was good. You know, 3 stars, 3.5. It was pretty damn good. It just wasn't, it wasn't as big as, I guess we can all say it wasn't as great as the main event.
No, not even close. Or our next match, for that matter.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the next match, Mark, I think we got to give this one to you because this match means a lot to you, doesn't it?
There she is. This was the one match I even bought the Royal Rumble T-shirt, which is behind me. I am a huge fan of Bayley. As a matter of fact, I have her on the wall over there. I couldn't wait for this one. And I happen to be a fan of Io Sky, too. So these were two performers I thought could put on a hell of a show. And I thought Bayley's entrance was fantastic. The whole thing with her making like it's ancient Egypt, that was great. The Japanese, the salute to Japan Rio's from, I thought the fan dance was really cool. That's a very big thing in Japan when you're a wrestler, especially for the women. The match itself was fantastic. And if you guys are wondering about Bayley's knee, that injury is actually very real. Bayley's knee is killed. Bayley has had a bad knee for over 3 years now. The limp is very real. She had an injury for over a year with that leg. I have the same injury, and I got to tell you, it hurts like hell. She is a workhorse. She is an absolute workhorse, Bayley. She really is. She deserved this win. I'm so glad she won. The match was amazing. Io pulling off all of them, moves, Bayley pulling off the Savage Elbow, the Bayley suplex. We haven't seen them in a very long time. I thought this was fantastic and great for Bayley, great for Pam. She earned this one. 100% the fans were fully behind her. I even watched the press conference. I never did that. I loved everything that she did about this match. She looked amazing. Io did. Io brought everything that she could bring into this one. And I'm honestly glad that Damage Control stayed the hell out of it. It had to be the way it was. one-on-one, let's get it on and just do what we do. And they really brought it. It was about 15 and a half minutes long. It was a fantastic match. I loved every second of it. They didn't slow down at all. Hell to the metal, way to go. And I'm so happy for her. She deserved it. It was after everything, after all the hell that she's been through.
Tony?
So I'm not a Bayley fan, but I do feel that she's earned it because I'm looking at it from the point of they put her in a position where she's starting damage control, which a lot of people weren't receptive of at first. And it was concerning, but then she makes it something to where you are basically curious and tuning in week after week to see what happens. And I think early on, a lot of us felt that we can see the demise coming. And a lot of us really felt that Bayley was going to be the one to do it. She was going to be the one that ended them. How they were going to get there was a different story. And I liked how they did it. It had me interested enough that I wanted to watch the match. And I thought it was a good match. It's probably, for me, it's my third favorite match of the entire night. It was a good one. I watched it front to back. I thought it was great.
Loved it. It actually was my favorite one of the night, obviously.
Yeah, me too. Main event. That was by far, God, that was such a good match, man. It hit every note for me. And while I had my suspicions, I was still blown away and I was caught off guard, which I liked. I did not see any of that coming.
I did not see it coming. I didn't see John Cena coming. We knew the Usos were going to be there, but I didn't see anything coming out with the Shield with Seth Rollins. I thought, oh my God, he's coming out of Shield. Yeah, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Cody, I'm going to be Shield, so.
It had that big fight feel, it really did. And I'll put it to, and what Cody did afterwards when he won the title, got down on his knees, handed the belt to his mom. They looked up to Dusty. And I grew up a very big Dusty Rhodes fan, so did my late brother, mate, Jeff Rest. I'll be the first one to admit I started crying when he won that belt. I really did. Because I followed from his entire career. And that storytelling, when you got a 45-year-old, almost 46-year-old guy crying because another guy won the title, that says a lot about him.
Yeah.
And I know Paul Heyman said it best at the Hall of Fame, I wish your father was here. And if you didn't feel Dusty Rhodes last night watching that match, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. I really don't.
Dusty had the best seat in the house, brother. Best seat in the house in heaven, man.
Absolutely.
Before I get into this, obviously, Bayley and Io Sky, great match. But no disrespect to Bayley or Io Sky or you, Mark, but I was just ready for the main event. But Bayley and Io Sky, you know, it's great to see women's wrestling really utilized the right way. Because, you know, back in the Ruthless Aggression era, when he had, like, the female wrestlers just come out, dressed in bathing, do all that stuff, that was just such a horrible treatment of women's wrestling and women in wrestling and women in general.
Yep.
It's not right. You see, it's good to see that, you see, you know, you even see intergender matches to see that female wrestlers, they can wrestle the guys too, and they do a fantastic job.
They really do. They really do.
And I have so many heroes. As far as women wrestlers goes, I have so many heroes because they go beyond proving that women can main event pro wrestling too.
Yes, they can. And WWE's not the first company to let women do this. You got to give credit to Ring of Honor and TNA because they were the first companies to say, we're not going to have you pull hair. We're going to have you go out there. You're going to throw each other around. You're going to be suplexed. You're going to come off the top rope. You're going to be wrestling. That's full credit to TNA, and that's full credit to Ring of Honor. They were the first two companies to tell women, you're not sex objects. You're professional wrestlers. You've earned the right to be here. So go out there and kick some butt. And that's exactly what they did. And last night, they did exactly what they should have done. Exactly. They really did.
They did. But now this match, now I only wish Stone. I feel like Stone Cold should have been there.
A lot of people wanted that.
I felt like it because you know what? If The Rock's heavily in the match, it would have made sense if it was Stone Cold because in the Attitude Era, Stone Cold and The Rock had quite a history. Imagine if Triple H got involved
Right.
Well, it's interesting, but Triple H is the face and The Rock is the heel. That's something that we're not used to. Although it did happen in 98, because I was remarkable. In the height of the Attitude Era, yeah, Triple H was the heel, The Rock was the face, but before that, it was the opposite. The Rock was heel. Triple H was the ultimate baby face.
From what I'm understanding, Austin said no. From what I'm reading on the internet, they did ask Stone Cold, and Stone Cold turned them down cold. I don't know why. Maybe an argument with The Rock. Maybe an argument with Triple H. I don't know why he said no, but there was a phone call made, from what I'm understanding, and Stone Cold said no. He wasn't even at the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Austin was not at the Hall of Fame. No, he was not there.
Must be some.
Austin's not at the Hall of Fame. It means there's something wrong in the company.
Seeing The Rock be chokeslam by the Undertaker, that was funny. But Seth Rollins coming out in his Shield gear. Well, remember he told Cody, "I'm gonna be your Shield for against Roman Reigns." So that was something. But we fully didn't really understand. But again, if you know the history, Seth Rollins can easily get in Roman Reigns' head because of the past, especially when Seth Rollins betrayed and destroyed the Shield. So he got to Roman's head. Roman decided to take revenge rather than finish Cody.
Right? I think that the break of the Shield had to be done, number one, because it was getting lame anyway. But I love the fact that they did it that way. They told a great story last night, and that's what you want in wrestling. You really do. You want that kind of emotion. You want that big fight feel. You want the emotion of who's going to do this. And when The Rock came out, like Tony was, I was a little bit nervous saying, oh, no, not this nonsense again. So, but I'm glad we got what we did. And I've never been a Michael Cole fan. I can't stand the man. But I think that Michael Cole brought his A-game last night, especially when he screamed out, I love pro wrestling. Like you, Ox, and Tony, I'm assuming you do. That's why you're on the show. He brought his emotion that game. And even Michael Cole was starting to tear up a little bit. He broke character last night.
I think we all did, guys.
Well, yeah. If you listen to it right as Cody's pinning him, Michael Cole says, finish the story, but it's in sync with each count. And it was actually a pretty emotional moment. I cried a little bit because Dusty Rhodes was way before my time, but I grew up watching this stuff because my stepdad, that's what he grew up watching. So I took an interest in Dusty Rhodes because he was someone who was bigger, like me, and he showed you that you can still be a badass and have fun. And I fell in love with that. And then, you know, years later, I'm following Cody's story, and I kind of don't like what they're doing with him in his early days. And then I watch him in AEW, and I'm falling in love with him again, and he comes back to WWE, and, you know, like last night, it was like a full circle moment. And my oldest kid was with me, and she's like, you look like you're about to cry. And I told her, well, I'm about to, yeah, because this is a huge deal. This, to me, is a story that it comes neck and neck with the story of the Von Erich family. This is a very, very big story. And I looked at her and told her, like, you know, what you won't understand now that you will 20 years from now is that literally history was made with this match.
It doesn't just
close the chapter on a long story. It does something that a lot of people have been basically waiting for. They wanted that closure since before Cody ever came into the picture, because the obvious truth is that title eluded that family. So,
well, Dusty had that on here, and I think Dusty wanted to tell her mask and go off like 44 seconds, and they took it away from him.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But I always wanted Dusty to win the WWF heavyweight title back in the day. He did win WCW. He beat Ric Flair in a hell of a match. I've seen a million times. I wanted this to happen for Cody so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And he needed this. And I mean, I'll put it to the... I think that the world needed this also, to have that fan, to watch somebody who has gone through some of the worst story characters ever. Dashing was terrible. Stardust was even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Legacy wasn't too bad. Legacy was a nice run for them as they started off. But it was garbage after garbage. Then he quit the company, comes back to Nightmare Cat with the American Nightmare character, and the world just exploded to him. And I think when he left the company, he knew he was in a bad position. He goes, he leaves the Indies, he does great on the Indies, he starts AEW, then he comes back here. It's a wonderful story over 4 decades of professional wrestling, maybe in 5. So,
absolutely.
I always felt bad Dusty didn't get it, but that was politics back in the 80s. But now it's Cody's time. Goodbye. Goodbye, useless. Hello, new chapter. And I feel Cody will say what he said. He will defend the belt more and more and more. He really will.
Well, and the timing of everything was great, too. I mean, surprise after surprise. The time was just phenomenal.
I'm not a Cena fan, but I was glad to see him.
Me too.
I will say, Cody winning the NWA title, when he was away with WWE, I mean, that kind of gave him the moment, much like his dad, because his dad was a former NWA world champion who beat Ric Flair for the title, as Mark mentioned. So, but still at the same time, to see it happen in WWE is important as well. So,
absolutely.
And this match, it gave us the vibes of cinema. It really gave us the Avengers thing, man. I'm telling you.
I honestly, man, almost cried when, I always butcher her name, but Ricochet's wife, when she announces Cody as the winner, you can clearly hear it in her voice. She is having a hard time saying it.
She was crying. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house when that three hit that mat. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. I really don't.
Roman himself, I think, tried not to break character, but I kind of feel like Roman too was happy too, because I'm sure Paul as well. I mean, even the heels. I'm sure if I had been a heel, part of the bloodline, I would have tried to hide my face because I'm crying too. Because look, I'm like, you know what? This is not about my character or anything. This is about a guy, who's the son of a legend. This is something important to him. Our business is our business, but he worked hard for this. I'm happy for him. So.
Oh yeah, I have no complaints. I think the only thing that
backstage, Roman and Cody, The Rock, they all embrace and they all basically. Yeah. Good job, guys.
Cool. Same thing with Bill and Neil.
Obviously, we can't see it on camera, even though we kind of know the business, but still, they got to preserve kayfabe somehow.
Well, yeah. They wouldn't have done it this way, but I would have loved to have seen, and this is just a callback to Hogan and Warrior, but it really would have been, it would have been cool to see Roman hand the title to Cody. Obviously, we didn't get that. Probably for the better, but I would have killed for that. That would have been cool, honestly.
I just think it's cool that The Rock can quit out to congratulate him. I thought that was shades of Bret Hart in WrestleMania 10 when Lock comes out to congratulate him and they're lifting him up over his shoulders. That was shades of WrestleMania 10. And that was just an amazing moment. Yeah. But I will say this about Michael Cole. He said that he hates the Phillies because he's a Mets fan. I'm a Mets fan too. the Phillies are our enemy, but it's the Braves we hate more. So, Michael Cole has never right to say I hate the Phillies because I can't stand. I hate them also, but it's the Braves we hate more. So get it right, Cole. But yeah, we all hate the Phillies too. So it was just a feat. It was a fun night. It really was, and that's what you want on WrestleMania. You want emotions. Great stories.
There, he got booed.
Huh?
I mean, the 49ers tight end was there, and he got heavily booed.
Well, I think I'm booed at the 49ers. What do you expect?
Right.
And I like the fact the Philadelphia Eagles got involved in the Rey Mysterio match. That was fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, George Kittle was there. Got heavily booed, so. But really was a hell of a night, too. And I tell you, I mean, like I said, the main event was, it's like, a part of a movie, it's a thriller, the bad guy's on his way to ending, but the good guy triumphs and then wins.
Oh yeah, it was an emotional moment. I've already watched the ending of that match like 3 times today.
I've watched it a couple times myself.
Just to relive it to make sure it's real, because there was a part of me that was thinking they're going to fuck this up again. But mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they listened to fans, because fans were very upset about last year. So all I could think is, what's going to happen is they are going to fuck themselves and there's going to be a full-on riot, which sounds crazy to say, but people wanted this. They made their voice clear.
Mm-hmm.
So
Danielson back Chance to go Brian Danielson back in WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It seems like every 10 years the extremely heavy favorite finally gets what we all wanted.
Yep.
So,
but, I'm satisfied. I'm actually about to go watch Raw here soon.
we have running out here in New York, but I loved it. I thought that night one was adults watching paint dry. It was just a bad show.
Yeah.
Night two, they brought their A game. It was emotional. It's everything you wanted. So congratulations to all the new champions. Michael Cole finally gave us the emotion that we wanted out of his voice. But
yeah,
that's only one night. But you got to give it. Cody shaking hands with all three of them was impressive. It really, I'm glad that they got to show that. He calls out Paula Beck, Triple H. They shake his hands. He calls out Bruce Pritchard. For anybody who doesn't know, Bruce Pritchard and Dusty Rhodes were best friends.
Yeah, they worked together, yeah.
Cody's always said Bruce Pritchard like his uncle. So to have Bruce come out was kind of like having having Dusty come out. Just an emotional scene.
Dustin been there. I wish Dustin, a.k.a. Goldust, could have been there.
Yeah.
Too involved in AEW. He couldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, it is what it is, and we witnessed it. But before we close it out, though, guys, I got to ask you, do you agree when I say that the worst match on the show, I think it had to be Jay versus Jimmy? That had to be the worst
one,
match.
Yeah, no, I'd say that's fair.
Respect to the two. No disrespect at all, but I just don't like the way the match went.
Yeah, that one was a slow burn.
But like I said, there will never be a match that will ever be better than Brett versus Owen as far as a sibling match goes.
No, but Jeff and Matt, but you got to give credit to Jeff and Matt Hardy. They were pretty close.
Yeah, they were. That was a good one. I like that one.
But Brett versus Owen, sorry, it's never gonna be outclassed.
I agree with you.
20 years at least.
But Brett and Owen were technicians. Jeff and Matt are more of the high flying Mexican Japanese style that we all love. I don't know what they'll happen to Jeff. I don't know if Jay and Jimmy just said, "Look, we're thrown into the situations, go out there and just play fight," and that's exactly what it was. I think that was the situation. Because I know my uncle even said that Rikishi talked to him before. So maybe it was just, okay, we're twin brothers. We really don't hate each other. So we're just going to get through this and go to the back and just go out to dinner afterwards and, you know, deal with it later.
Right.
Brett and Owen and Jimmy didn't hate each other, but it was a much different story back in 1994. Same thing with 15 years ago with Matt and Jeff, but you could tell that they did not want to do this.
Yeah.
Night, different story though. Night two, when they fell off the entranceway, that was a different ball game. That made up for whatever hell happened night one. But
absolutely. Yes. Yeah. But I think we covered everything. So as we close it out, Tony, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, brother?
Yes, sir. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. That is at The Great Girth Podcast for YouTube as well as Instagram. We're on TikTok as well, unfortunately. Slowly getting into Twitter, but definitely like and subscribe if you're looking for something that's a little offbeat, unorganized, and funny as hell.
Tony, I'd love to work with you again, bro. I think we had a good time together. I'd love to work with you again.
Absolutely, man.
You can find me on Facebook, guys. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not on TikTok anymore for personal reasons. I'll explain that another time. I'm not on X for the same reason. But guys, it's always fun. Alex, you and I always have a great time. Tony, anytime you want to work with me, please let me know.
Absolutely, man.
I've had a lot of fun tonight, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming. I mean, guys, look, when it comes to knowledge and passion for pro wrestling, you guys have got it, much like I do. So we got to get as much as we can on this show. So I'm very grateful to you guys. And to remind everybody that you can find Ringside Chaos anywhere you get your podcast. So what Tony, Mark, and I need y'all to do is to hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, because we all want to be sure that you won't be missing out on any exciting upcoming content, and something big happens on Monday Night Raw, then for sure it will be covered on the show. But also be sure to check out the Great Girth Podcast, because the Great Girth Podcast is definitely a show you must tune into. But a word of warning, if you're easily offended, well, you've been warned. So, Justin, thank you again for joining me, and I cannot wait to do this again soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.